Kamenetsky Brothers Podcast, ESPN LA. Andy, very excited. We've got an actual Laker here to talk today.
It's a nice change of pace. People probably get sick of hearing us just talk about the Lakers.
Yep. We call him Short Straw. The guy who...
Merciful Short Straw. Mercy upon us.
Larry Nance Jr. joining us right now. Larry, thanks so much for coming on.
I appreciate you guys having me.
How's your summer been? You missing it? You taking the time off? What's going on?
Well, I took about a week off when the season ended, but you know, right after that, I think actually all four of us young guys were back. We're back in the gym, ready to work out that second week.
How does the off season in Los Angeles compare to the off season in Wyoming?
You know, going cliff jumping or fishing, I go to the beach and, you know, go to the pool.
You went cliff jumping?
Oh, I've been cliff jumping multiple times, yes.
Is that still allowed in your contract? Do you know?
I'm just not going to test it.
Yeah, you've heard the story, by the way, haven't you, several years ago of Vlad Radmanovich when he was with the Lakers, right? In Park City, Utah?
I actually haven't heard that.
During All-Star weekend, he told everybody that he was going to be laying low, you know, just take some time off and just hang out with some friends in Park City. And he ended up separating his shoulder because he went snowboarding and separated it in a fall.
Ooh, well, you don't have to worry about me doing that. Snowboarding is not my forte.
Well, and it also was not supposed to be his forte because it wasn't allowed in his contract.
Ooh,
but did you read that thing? Like, before you signed it, how closely did you read it?
I read it I didn't read it. My agent read it. So, I mean, it was one of those where, like, hey, unless you plan on doing something really reckless, you're fine.
Like cliff jumping,
right. If I go back to Wyoming this summer, I'm definitely not going cliff jumping.
Well, the kid from Cal, Jaylen Brown, he's not even using an agent, you know, to go through this stuff, I guess, because the rookie negotiations are relatively simple. I mean, so you know,
I don't
what did you get out of it?
Do
you even need the guy?
Personally, if I didn't have my agent, I don't know where I would be. But you know, more power to him. You know, he's got to be a pretty intelligent kid to, you know, sift through all this nonsense.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much hardball did you play with Mitch and Jim? One being you rolled over, 10 being, you know, super hardball.
I would say probably a 3 or 4 because I was just so happy to hear my name called and so happy to be in a good spot that, hey, whatever you guys want, I am in. If you don't want me riding a hoverboard, I won't ride a hoverboard.
But did you make any? Because, like, I was expecting you to say 1, to be perfectly honest. Like, you know, you're not going to pay me? That's fine. I'm happy to be here. But, like, did you make any requests? Like, any little stuff you wanted to add in there that you can talk about?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure. Oh, you know what? I do get to go back. I have a week off to go back to Wyoming in the offseason if I do choose to.
Nice. There you go.
Other than that, nothing.
So did you get kind of puffy about it? Look, guys, I get a week to go back to Wyoming or this is over.
Oh, I put my foot down and stormed in the office and said, look, if I don't get a week, I'm quitting.
There wasn't even a meeting scheduled.
No,
just
they just
stormed in.
They were meeting themselves to discuss, you know, free agency or something. I just barged in and demanded.
Excellent. So,
look, Larry here.
So last season, I mean, you've had a little bit of time to decompress and look back. What were some of the biggest takeaways you had just from the experience of being a rookie?
I think first and foremost would just be, you know, the monumental moments that we got to experience going on the Kobe tour. you know, his last game in Philly, his last game in Boston, and, I mean, not to mention his last game ever in L.A. was, you know, were three games that I think however long and, you know, knock on wood, hopefully successful my NBA career may be, those are still probably going to be one of the top three, two, three games that I've ever played in or been a part of. But other than that, the biggest adjustment for me was probably the strength of everybody else. I mean, you hear a lot of guys say it's speed, but for me, it was more so, you know, these guys are just, they're grown men and they're just strong. I mean, I'm fast enough, athletic enough to keep up with them, but they're just powerful.
Yeah, it seems like you're putting, I mean, I've seen the footage of you in the weight room that Tim DeFrancesco is trying to get you, 5 or 6 pounds of muscle in the off season.
Exactly. Yeah, we're trying to get, 5 or 6 pounds of, like, strictly muscle. We don't need, I don't need to put any donut weight.
Was there anybody in particular that you went up against or had some contact and you're like, damn, that dude's a bull?
Andre Drummond. I hit him and bounced off him a good couple feet. And, you know, he may not, it's not one that comes to mind immediately, but LaMarcus Aldridge is a big dude. And so, you know, there were times where he just had me pushed so far up under the rim, I couldn't get a rebound unless it came to the net. So I definitely need some lower body strength to be able to, push against those guys.
So is that what you're doing? Are you doing more up? It's more lower body, upper body? Like what, how does this work?
It's more lower body.
Okay.
Because, we're kind of killing two birds with one stone. You know, if we do lower body lifting is, I obviously need it to, push and bang with the bigger guys of the league, but also, to kind of finish up my ACL rehab.
Now you've talked before about, the rookie experience and just growing as a player. Where do you think that you grew the most over the course of a season, but then also where do you think your game still needs the most development?
I would say I grew the most, with my defensive confidence. I came in, thinking like, all right, there are guys that I know I match up, size-wise and athleticism-wise well against, the mobile fours like Millsap, guys like that. But I knew, I can move with him. But then, kind of towards the end of the season, I got to kind of expand my range to guard. I got to guard Carmelo for a game. I got to guard Aldridge. They put me on Dirk. And, whether I had a good showing or a bad one against them, just getting that experience and the confidence to go against those guys, those perennial All Stars, was something that I'm really really look forward to doing more.
Right, and the Melo, if I remember correctly, the Melo one had some moments where Melo,
things. Melo lit me up.
Yeah, but so
Melo
what? Do you,
lit me up
from a confidence standpoint. When you go up against a guy like that and he lights you up, what do you? How does that work to build your confidence?
The next time it's not going to happen. I mean, that's where your mindset goes. I think he had like 15 in the fourth quarter, and he just cooked me. I mean, there was nothing I could do with him. And, for me, there's no shame in admitting that, because the only person that can guard guys like that are themselves. If they're missing shots, they're missing shots, but it's not because of you.
And then in terms of just growing as a player, what did this season, teach you in terms of, okay, I need the most work here. This is where my game needs to develop the most.
With the two sides of the floor, I mean, offensively, there was a couple game stretch where I had all the confidence in the world, and my jump shot, was knocking it down and just feeling really good about it. I was in a groove and, I was scoring the ball real well. And then, I kind of got back into the hesitate phase, and that just throws your shot off. So, if I can just continue to take that 15-footer, and this summer we're even kind of stretching it out to three a little bit, with confidence, that that
that's going to be huge for my not only my game but the whole team, whole team's offense.
Yeah, it seemed like that happened like after you got banged up, like you missed a few games and you came back and you just weren't quite as aggressive as you were before that.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, because I was in a nice groove, you know, playing well. You know, I was feeling it a little bit, and then I got banged up, and it's just hard to get back into that.
So do you picture yourself as being able to do that kind of, whether or not next year or at some point as your career goes on, being able to fill a kind of a 3-and-D type role?
I don't want to be in that role.
Okay.
Now if that's what's called upon, yeah, I'll do it. But my offensive game isn't just, I don't want to be limited to the 3-point line, you know, because that's not where my strengths lie. You know, I'm an around the basket, right, explosive athlete, so that's where I want to be.
So to be able to shoot the three is a goal, but not necessarily to become a 3-point shooter, if you understand what I mean.
Right, just to make sure if I'm out there, you have to respect. That's more so where my plans lie.
I remember after the last game talking with you about the sort of the burden of the post Kobe era and how guys like you and D'Angelo, Jordan, Julius, Anthony, it being a collective effort in doing that and just moving this franchise to the next chapter. How important is that notion of making it a group effort? And is it something you guys have talked about amongst yourselves?
It's definitely something that we've talked about, and it's definitely something that, you know, has to be done as a group. You know, there's not many Kobe's that can, you know, almost pull a franchise on his back single handedly, and we know that it's gonna take a group effort because, you know, none of us are Kobe Bryant. There's never gonna be another Kobe Bryant. So. You know, us five guys are going to really need to have good chemistry in order to make this thing, turn this thing around and attract some big names.
Knowing that, you know, there are no other Kobe Bryants, you know, the odds of somebody turning into Kobe Bryant among your young core, they're low odds. Is that more daunting or is that more of a relief in certain ways? Do you understand what I mean?
I know what you mean. I mean, like, with his legacy, who's going to take over the...
Right.
Yeah. No, at least not for me.
But,
at least not for me. Like, I look, Kobe's Kobe, you know? Like, you can't... No, is there... Could one of us five turn into great players, really good players? Oh, yeah, and I think that'll come in due time, but, you know, If you're going to compare yourself to Kobe, you're just, I'm sorry, but come on.
It was interesting, though, you said, like, you know, the development being so important to recruiting players and getting guys to want to come to L.A. So you're conscious of the role that the development of the core plays in bringing, you know, not Kevin Durant literally, but Kevin Durant figuratively to the team.
Well, I mean, you know, just kind of put yourself in those shoes. You know, you're leaving a team because they're not in, because, you know, you're not in contention. You're not in contention to win one. So, you know, why would you go to a different team that isn't, you know, that doesn't have the pieces that you can build around to get to that point? So, you know, we as a younger group have to show that, hey, look, we're working, we're getting better, and sooner rather than later, we're going to be ready to, you know, ready to compete.
In theory, let's just say, you know, no big trades happen, nothing strange happens this offseason, the team comes back. You're going to add, presumably, it looks like Brandon Ingram. Do you know, is it Brandon Ingram?
Have they told you?
It's Brandon Ingram, right? Don't
look,
say anything.
You know,
yeah, don't say anything for like 3 seconds if it's Brandon Ingram.
You know just as much as I know, and that is not me being politically, I know nothing. I'm just hoping for the best. Whatever we choose, I'm pulling for.
Did you lose your like leverage to be in the room for these sorts of decisions when you demanded the week to go back to Wyoming?
That's exactly what happened.
I think it was worth it, Larry.
It's fallout. It's fallout. From
I agree. That week is well worth my my management opportunity.
But anyway, like, you know, in theory, you know, it's either him or Ben Simmons, barring something shocking. You guys have the 32nd pick, which is a valuable pick. Somebody that the Lakers, in theory, bring in another player. Are you excited by the idea of adding more, you know, younger guys? Is there a hope that you can find more veterans? What kind of mix are you looking for? You know, would you hope to see next year?
You know, I mean, we do have two really, you know, picks in the draft that could really help us. Whether those do turn into the young guys that, you know, could come from the draft, or they turn into veterans somehow, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm just ready to work with whoever the team brings in. But personally, I would like to see us at least get some veteran presence, you know, because we lost some major veteran presence, and now I would definitely like to see at least one or two guys come in and help us,
right?
You know, help us build from the bottom.
Can you explain kind of to people? I mean, I know it's sort of it seems self-evident, like what veterans bring and what they do, but why, you know, why it is such a valuable thing for young guys to have, not even star players, but solid veterans
around them,
Brandon Bass types, whether from Brandon Bass to Kobe or around that. Like, what exactly are you guys getting as young players from those guys?
Well, I mean, personally, I think I might have learned more this year playing in the same unit as Brandon Bass than I might have from anybody else this year. He's just a pro, you know, like in every sense of the word. He's just a pro, you know, carries himself the right way, knows how to handle post game interviews, knows how to handle, you know, he's just really, you know, diligent with his work and stuff like that. So, I mean, to see somebody that's been so successful in the league, do all that stuff, and you're younger than him and you're not, it's just kind of like, oh, I better whip it into shape, because if he's 29 and I'm 22, why shouldn't I be doing that too?
Does that translate into like the details on the floor as well?
A little bit. I mean, you know, watching things that certain guys do and getting to guard it in practice and play against it, you learn. You know, because obviously they've learned tricks from other guys in the league, and now you're learning a multitude of different tricks just through one guy. So I think a veteran presence is invaluable.
How much contact have you had with Luke Walton, and what's your impression of the system he's going to be bringing and the way he's going to have you guys playing?
I've spoken to him one or two times, and he's, you know, I've never heard anything bad about him. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, what basketball player in their right mind doesn't want to play in a system like that?
I mean, we covered him for quite a while, you know, when he was a player, and he's a really good guy, but he's a people person. And it's something that I think will be interesting as far as transitioning with this young core, just his ability to relate to people.
I do think that's that's going to be necessary, because, you know, with so many young guys, you're going to have to kind of bring us along and have a little bit of patience. And the fact that he has that personable manner about him makes it easier.
And one of the things I think is interesting, though, is like young players get lumped together like they're all, like, you know, like Luke Walton or another coach can speak to all young players because he's young and they're young. But at least my guess is you don't necessarily need exactly the same kind of coaching that D'Angelo needs, that Julius needs, that Clarkson needs. It seems to me to be a mistake to lump all young players together just because they're young.
I agree with that. I mean, you know, everybody prefers their own, their own way to be coached. You know, some guys need to be yelled at. Some guys need to be, you know, just, hey, you know, come over here and let me tell you what's wrong and what's right. Do this next time. Some guys don't need a whole lot of coaching, you know? So I think that's, the head coach does the majority of the coaching, but you also bring in assistant coaches and player development guys and the whole staff to where somebody is going to have that same type of style that you respond to.
So there are, you know, I think everybody knows last year that Kobe was filming. He was doing the documentary thing. There were camera crews all over the place. How much do you think you'll appear in that? What kind of role were you angling for in the eventual Kobe documentary?
I'd have to imagine you're going to see me a whole lot. Like, you know, like you've got the picture, right? You've got what's going on in the locker room, and then you'll see me you'll see me walk into it and realize they're filming and then just like walk way back out and find somewhere else to be.
There's no there's no dramatic moment where you sit down while Kobe's struggling with the knee or the shoulder and you're like, Mamba, you got it. You can do it.
No, Mamba, we got this. You got this. No, you know what? I don't think you'll see. They weren't on the bench with us. So I think that was the only spot where they weren't. That in the bathroom.
Like, how many pages in Variety do you expect of, for your consideration, Larry Nance Jr., best supporting actor?
If I don't win some kind of award, I'll be pretty upset.
But that was part of us. Last year was a strange year. I mean, I know it was your first one. You don't necessarily have something to compare it to. It was a weird one, and you know, not that you would trade the experience of being around Kobe for a year.
Wouldn't trade it for the world.
But I mean, it was an odd year. I mean, the cameras were weird. It was just the whole thing was a little strange.
It was. I mean, going from, you know, Wyoming, where, you know, we really had two reporters. You know, there was one from Cheyenne and one in Laramie, and that was it. And then post-game, I can't even get changed until there are 75 of you guys in our locker room, like, waiting for Kobe's locker, knowing he's not going to be in there for another 30 minutes. So it's, I don't know, it was just like, it was something to get used to.
Is there a part of you, even as you said, you would never trade it for the world? And we've talked before about, you know, what you've taken away from and how much it meant to you, but that is sort of looking forward to the idea of a little bit more just normalcy, like in terms of, okay, we're trying to build something, and, you know, like where it's not so sort of scattershot.
A little bit, you know, there's going to be more consistency with everything that we do. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, now we can kind of look forward to, you know, put a lot of effort, almost all our effort into, all right, we've got these young guys, let's create them into something great. And I'm looking forward to it. I am. Like I said, that first year, this year has been fantastic. You know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It'll be their games I'll never forget. But at the same time, I do look forward to kind of getting on with it.
Yeah, I can't say I blame you. A couple more things before we let you go. On June 8th, on your Twitter account, which is, just say it out loud because I just pulled it off my computer screen.
@LarryDN22.
Thank you, Andy. You posted, you solicited an invitation to the E3 people. Like, hey, what do I got to do to get invited? And then I looked yesterday, and you are posting stuff from E3. So obviously it worked. You are a BFD these days, clearly.
I don't know about that, but I do have to give a big thanks to the people at Ubisoft for helping me out. That was incredible.
Are you a game geek?
Next year and. Oh, man, like you wouldn't believe. Like you wouldn't believe. I play my Xbox One pretty religiously.
So what were the highlights of E3 for you?
I don't know whether I'm allowed to discuss them, but I got to sample quite a few games and quite a few upcoming games. And let me tell you, Ubisoft has some gems coming out.
Now, do you show up like dressed up like a character from Tekken or something? What do you do?
Anime guy?
Right.
Now, if I weren't a noticeable face, yeah.
Wow.
But, no. No, I'm not that quite into it, but, you know, I definitely saw some guys dressed up, and I was like, hey, that's impressive. I know that guy.
Who would you dress up like if you could dress up, like if you made that choice?
If I could dress up, do you know the series Halo?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would dress up as the Master Chief.
Nice.
That's my hero.
Okay. So are there other places where you've thrown your celebrity around like this to get, you know, get in places or whatever, you know, now that you're a big shot Laker?
No, that was actually the first time. And I got the idea from Roy. Roy, actually, he's kind of the king of that. Like, hey, you know, I want to, you know, visit this place. Let me see if I can get it. He's kind of the king of that. And so he was like, hey, if you want to really get into E3, because I was asking him how, he was just tweet about it, and somebody should help you.
So that's also what veterans teach you on a team.
Exactly.
Like, how to get
free
stuff.
Veterans are good for a multitude of different things, and one of them being how to get things.
Another tweet you sent out pretty recently, you know she's a keeper if she'll go to the gym with you at midnight to rebound for you, hashtag outkick
yes.
my coverage. How does that ask begin? Like, how do you initiate that, hey, want to come to the gym at midnight and shag for me?
No, it was actually like, hey, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go get some shots up. And believe it or not, the next thing out of my mouth was, you need a rebounder?
Really?
You're like, no, because I don't miss.
Okay, you know, I wish I could say, I really do.
That's
so like I said, the jumper's a work in progress, guys. It's coming along.
Hey, how good a rebounder is she?
She was surprisingly good. She was a surprisingly good rebounder, you know. You know, if I were a scout, I'd say A+ for rebounding outside of her area.
How badly are you missing? Where are these balls going?
Hey, when you shoot from three, sometimes it comes off a little bit hard, hits the back rim or something. Hey, don't judge me.
Look, man, you play in the NBA. I do this. So clearly, I think in a basketball contest, you're going to come out ahead. I wouldn't go that far. One more thing for you. We play a game on our podcast where every Laker gets a statue. Like, you know, you've seen them out in front with Magic and Kareem and all those guys. Kobe's is coming. We have Shaq's they're going to build off the building, so it's like suspended from up in the air, which is really cool. So we play a game where what if every Laker got a statue? We decide what it would be doing, and where it would go.
And the size of the statue reflects the stature of your career as a Laker.
Right, and you know you can put it...
Oh, that's not fair.
Right. And so does the location, too. Like, the location can mean... Like, if you're really far away, maybe it means you maybe weren't very good. Or, like, maybe it just means that place was special to you or has some meaning for your career. So let's play the Larry Nance statue game. First of all, what would the Larry Nance statue be doing?
Come on, though. What do you think the Larry Nance statue would be doing?
Playing Halo, perhaps.
Actually,
you know what? The statue I want to see is you demanding your week in Wyoming with Mitch and Jim.
with my hands on my hips, standing there all stern like.
Exactly. I'm guessing dunking Larry?
It would have to be dunking Larry, yes.
And then how and big, I mean, where is the
what
statue?
Kind of dunk? Yeah, but like reverse, forward, what do you want it to look like? How much style? It's your statue.
How about the cradle?
Ooh.
That's good.
That's nice.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty cool one. But, you know, the size, I've played 1 year and you know, averaged 5 points. So how about like a little, like a star? Like a little, just like a Hollywood star. It doesn't have to be close. You know, that's why I feel like, you know, if Shaq's got this monstrous thing, I'm floor level.
So it's not, it doesn't even, it's not, it's horizontal. It doesn't even raise off the ground.
I haven't done anything yet, you know?
So at this point, it's more of a blueprint
of a
statue.
It's a rendering.
Exactly. Exactly. The star's there so that it's marking where the statue would be if the longer, you know,
okay.
My career goes on.
How about every year you're good, we add like 6 inches to the statue to start building it up?
That's fantastic.
All right.
So, you know, what if, you know, I could just have ankles?
Those are Larry Nance's ankles.
Those are his ankles.
That statue is fire.
No, I think, Larry, we have confidence in you. You're going to do better than ankles. We predict whole legs.
And hips. At least up to hips, I think.
At least up to the hips. Well, yeah. I appreciate the vote of confidence.
We believe in you, kid. There's a torso coming. We absolutely believe in you.
Well, I appreciate that.
We appreciate the time, man. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.